So we're here, we're starting on the bottom of Lamed Bet Amud Bet by the two dots. The Gemara here is discussing the last part of the Mishnah, which says, Barishona, haya ose beitin mimakom acher mevatlo. That he was able to make a beitin, once he sent the get, he can be mevatel the get without ever getting in contact with the shliach or the woman, simply by making a declaration in front of the beitin. Hitkin Rabban Gamliel azaken shlo yu osim kem yipnei tikkun olam. So Gamliel made a takana that they should not do this because of Tikkun Olam, which we'll discuss in today's daf, what exactly Tikkun Olam is. That's also a segue into this perek, which is Mipnei Tikkun Olam, is the recurring refrain in all of the Mishnayot, and all the things that we will see in this perek, and all the Mishnayot that are coming up. It starts, of course, with Gitim here, which is, this is Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So now, Rishona Haya Useh, Itbar, Bifnei Kama Hu Mevatlo. When they did it originally, and he was able to mevatel the get without contacting the shliach that he had sent to take the get to his wife, or without contacting the woman, and he did it in front of, quote-unquote, a beit din, how many of those individuals had to be there? Rav Nachman amar bifnei bet, bifnei shnayim, Rav Sheshet amar bifnei shlosha. Then in front of two, according to Rav Nachman, according to Rav Sheshet, in front of three. Rav Sheshet amar bifnei gimel, beit din ktani. For Rav Sheshet, it's pretty straightforward. It says that they did it in front of a beit din. A beit din, or a minimum of a beit din, is three. Nachman Amar bifnei bet, bifnei shnayim. You do it in front of two, the beit rei, nami, beit din, kari lehu. Two are also called a beit din. So there are a number of items to discuss over here, the first of which is, why is this relevant at all? After the takana of Rabbi Gamliel has a cane, then none of this is halacha. And therefore, you're talking about something that has no halachic ramifications. And here, Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet are arguing in a position which no longer is relevant. So why would they even consider or speak about this? It has no nafkaminot alocha. For that reason, Tosfot says that it does have nafkaminot alocha, and that is, even though we don't necessarily do this anymore because of the takana of Rabban Gamliel, but Omri, the nafkamina, the rabbi, there is a dissenting shita to Rabban Gamliel Zakein's position, that he says, even though the takana of Rabban Gamliel Azakin was in place, nevertheless, if you go ahead and do it, it will work, despite the fact that you have a takana of Rabban Gamliel. Upasak lekaman Rav Nachman kavate, and Rav Nachman further on paskins like Rabbi, and so there, moder Rabbi din bitlu bifnei bet or Rav Sheshet bifnei achad b'afil Rav Nachman deinu mevutal. So it has halachic ramifications with regards to the shita of Rabbi, who says that even though the takana of Rabban Gamliel was put in place and nobody's supposed to be doing this, what happens if you do do it? And Rabbi Shita is, if you do do it, it works. And therefore, the machloket here between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet has relevance for that Shita of Rabbi. Number two is, when Rav Nachman says over here that there is a beit din of two, we have one other Shita in the beginning of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Shita of Shmuel, who says that a beit din shel shnayim is a beit din, el a beit din chotzufu. It's a mechutzah beit din that you have two, and it functions and it works as a beit din, although it's improper and you shouldn't be doing it. So the question is, what is the relationship between the shita of Rav Nachman here and that shita of Shmuel in the beginning of Sanhedrin? Tosafot goes out of his way to prove that the two are not correlated, and that Rav Nachman's statement is not necessarily in sync with Shmuel there, because he shows how Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to this position of Rav Nachman that you can have two. And despite that fact, when it comes to a beit din, Rav Yochanan says that there's a minimum of three and you can't have two. He does not subscribe to the din of Shmuel. You can see that it's impossible then to reconcile between the two shitot or say that they are correlated. But then you have to give an explanation for what is meant here that Rav Nachman says that you can have a beit din shel trei. Tosfot says it relates to what we're going to see upcoming in the perek, and that's with regards to Prusbol. That by Prusbol, two dayanim work and are sufficient. So what it means is that there are instances when a beit din is called a beit din, even though we're dealing with two individuals. So by prusbol, where you can use two dayanim to make the prusbol, it's called a beit din. Even though normally a beit din is three, we find instances of bati dinim that are two. Not that it means that a beit din, when it comes to dinim imonot or anything else, can be sufficed with two, like Shmuel says, but rather, he's saying we find a paradigm by prusbol. And we found something over here. Both of them are dealing with issues in this perek, and therefore he says maybe we can use the same definition of beit din over there as to work over here. What I'm suggesting now is the sheet of the Ramban. The Ramban says that the argument here is not really about a beit din. It's about what is the purpose of these three individuals or these two individuals in this instance, which we're going to see in a second, what the examples are why we have this. But if that's the case, then you're right. We don't actually need a Beit Din qua Beit Din. We just need to get to the end game of what they are searching for. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, with two, we'll get where we need to get to, even though it's not formally a Beit Din. And that's how the Ramban deals with this issue, saying that it's not even a machloket within the Beit Din or the definition of Beit Din. It's simply a machloket about the result and how we get to that result. So Rav Nachman Arbi say, Bifinei Bet, the Beit Trei Nami Beit Din Karlehu, Rav Nachman Mena Aminala, I'll show you that's the truth. The Tanan, the Mishnah further on, the Perek, and in Shvi'it, which is Mosrani Lifnechem, Ploni Uploni Hadayanim, Shibnekom Ploni, person gives over all of his loans to this Beit Din, and in the document it says, I give it to so and so. That's two individuals, the Dayanim, Shibnekom Ploni in such and such a place, and that is a prusbol that he's setting up. Over here it only mentions Ploni Uploni, which is two. Rav Sheshet, Ata Tana Kiruchlo Lechashe Velezel. Rav Sheshet says, they're not going through all the details. He's not going to say, oh, Masran Lifnechem, Ploni Uploni Uploni. Everybody knows that Beit Din requires three people. Just so-and-so is, and etc. So you don't have to add in. So Rav Sheshet says, I don't see a proof from that. It's just the way that the Mishnayot speak. We don't expect the Tana to list out every detail when it's obvious what he's speaking about. So Amar Rav Nachman Menah Minolo. Where can I show you that that's the case? That's none. Adayanim chutmim lamata o aedim. Either the dayanim sign at the end of the prusbol or the aedim. My love, dayanim dumya daedim. It's comparing, or you Rav Sheshet will argue they're contrasting, but you're comparing aedim to dayanim. My aedim shnaim ab dayanim nami shnaim. Just like aedim require two, so too dayanim. Sheshet midiria hakadita hakadita. Two different mechanisms for using the prusbol. You want to use aedim? You have to have two. You want to use dayanim? You need three. So the Gemara says, Lama li mitna dayanim, Lama li mitna edim. So then, why do I need to tell you about dayanim and edim? Why do I need both of these mentioned? Hakamash malan, Toloshna katuv bilashon dayanim, v'chatme edim. Toloshna katuv bilashon edim, v'chatme dayanim. So then, what's the whole point of mentioning, yeah, that the edim can sign, the dayanim can sign? What is the value of that? Now, according to Rav Nachman, the value is there because he teaches us that dayanim, you only need two, like you need edim. According to Rav Sheshet, where there is no chiddush here, dayanim sign their beit and they have to sign by three. Edim, if they're normal edim, are two, so they sign with two. What's the point of showing us that whether it's the dayanim that sign or the edim that sign, why is that irrelevant to halacha? So the Gemara says, because it comes to teach you, the prusbol can be worded or written in different manners. One is that it is written for a Beit Din, and one is that it's written for Edim. If they use the document for Dayanim and have Edim sign on it, or they use the document for Edim and have Dayanim sign on it, Rashi says that works. So Rashi says that if they write the Lashon Dayanim, which is, Kigon Beit Din Ahavina, Va'ata Ploni, Va'amalana Mosrani Lechem Ploni Uploni, they say we are a Beit Din, and so and so and so and so gave over their loans to us. Then at the end it says, people sign it, it says, so-and-so aid, so-and-so aid. So despite the fact that the document's written that this was a Beit Din that I gave it to, and it was turned over to the Beit Din, at the bottom, the people who are the signatories are people who say that they're aidim. And then vice versa, if it is written in the way that aidim, which Rashi says is, Ganon duchran sa dutu dahava b'anpana, this was seen, or this happened in front of us, we are witness to this event, at the bottom it says, so-and-so dayan, so-and-so dayan. So, what Rashi says the Chiddush is that there is a standard language that is used for dayanim, standard language that's used for edim. At the bottom we have signatories, but the signatories don't sign as dayanim, they sign as edim. Or in the other case, where it's written for edim, if they're signed as dayanim, that teaches us, kamash malan, that that is kasher, that there's no problem with that, and it works. Tosfot, on the other hand, as he notes, I am explaining different than Rashi, but I think that's this way. What does it mean? Kagon shekatuv prosbo beit din ahava ana ploni bar ploni niskarim shem adayanim betocha toref. One way to have a document is where the actual dayanim are mentioned inside the document itself. Ulamata chutmim edim lahayid ala prosbo. The dayanim are mentioned as parties that accepted the prosbo. The people that are signing to give it effectiveness, the prosbo, are the edim at the bottom. That's one possibility. On the other hand, there is another version, or another way it can be, which is that the Torah does not include the Shemot of the Dayanim, but rather, what does that mean, Lashon Edim? Because it says in the Torah for Prusbol, Beidin Hava, Va'ata Ploni, Va'amar Lana, Musrani Lechem, Kochov, Sheish, Biyad Ploni, Uploni, Uploni Edim, V'chatumim, Lamata Dayanim. So here the story is told not about the names of the Dayanim. It says, the person came to Beitin, gave over all of his loans in front of such and such Edim, and then signed at the bottom are the Dayanim. So for Tosafot, there is a missing piece in each of the documents. When it's written for the Dayanim's names are mentioned in the document, and then the document says all the loans were handed over to the Beit Din. Who's a witness to that? Who's signing off on that? The Edim. The other way around is where the Beit Din is anonymous, which says we're handing it over to Beit Din, and so-and-so naming are the Edim that witnessed this happen. Then who verifies at the bottom? The Dayanim signed that that happened and was them. So that's the way Tosafot says that's where it works, where you can reverse the language. So for Tosafot, it's not a problem of the document being written incorrectly. Rashi seems to indicate there's a document for Dayanim and a document for Edim, and then it's signed by the other party. Tosafot says these are just two versions of the document. One of them spells out the Dayanim, and then Edim sign on it. One of them spells out Edim, and then the Dayanim sign on it. But he says, Kamash Malon, that that works. And that's why it's mentioned in the Mishnah there that you can have both Edim or Dayanim sign on it. Either way, you can make it into an effective Prusbol. All right. Now, Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken was Mitakein, that you can't do this anymore. Mipnei Tikkun Olam. My Mipnei Tikkun Olam. What exactly is this Tikkun Olam? Yochan Amar Mipnei Takanat Mamzerim. In order to prevent the problem of Mamzerim. Because there's a distinct possibility that the get will reach this woman, and she will think she's divorced. Meantime, the husband was mevatel in front of a Beit Din. She goes, gets married based on this get. The children that are born out of that second marriage are going to be mamzerim. So in order to prevent the problem of mamzerut, he made this takana. Eshlakish amar mipnei takanat agunot. To solve the problem of agunot. Rashi explains over here, the takanat agunot is to prevent the woman from being stuck inside of this marriage because the husband is not going to make the effort to divorce her. He's overseas, he's far away, and he's not going to send a shliach. He himself is not going to show up. So now you're putting the burden on the woman herself because here the get was on her way, it's coming. And all of a sudden he's mevatel the get. Once he does that, he's not going to do it again. And now all the burden is on the woman and she's basically stuck as an aguna in this case. Now, it's an interesting version of aguna, because here it's not where necessarily there's any discord in the marriage, but he's just overseas. And she's just left stuck in this position where she can't get married because he's overseas. So she's an aguna in that sense, that she doesn't have her husband here, and she's also not able to get married. Others describe the Pnei Takanat Agunot. The problem of aguna here is that we're afraid that the woman might be choshesh for this. We have in the beginning of the Gemara in Ketubot, Mipnei Tznuot, Mipnei Putzot, that over there, they wanted to eliminate any onus b'gitin because of the deleterious effects it has to accept onus inside of gitin, which is that if there's something happens when there's a condition built into the get, and then something unforeseeable happens to the husband and he can't fulfill the t'nai, if you accepted that as a fair excuse, then the get would be batel. So now, if we allowed that to happen, you would have situations in which the husband was caught in a situation where he couldn't fulfill the t'nai because he was in these unforeseen circumstances, and then the get is batel. Meantime, the woman has the get, and she thinks the husband didn't fulfill his obligations, and therefore the get is a good get. So she'll go off and get married. Those are the prutzot, who will say that whether the husband was nanas or not nanas, they will say it. There are the tznuot, who, even when the husband doesn't show up and there's no reason to believe there was an onus, they'll worry that there might have been an onus and that get is not a good get and they won't get married. So for that reason, the Gemara in the beginning, Tubot, has one day, which we just saw recently in here in the Gemara Gitin, ain't onus b'gitin. We don't worry about onus at all b'gitin. So similar thing over here. If we allowed such a vehicle for the husband to be vatal to get in front of a Beit Din, then a woman gets her get from overseas. She always has the fear that the husband went to a Beit Din and was bevatel to get. And so these women would be left as agunot because they always have in the back of their mind that they're worried about the fact that the husband was bevatel to get. And so they won't feel freed or released by the get. So that's what some say the Mipnei Takanat Agunot was to accomplish that same thing, is to take away this avenue, which would be a cause for doubt in the get, or even cast aspersions on the get. The last possibility is that the bittul will happen after the get is already received by the woman, and then that will cause problems of takanat agunot because of problems of whether it's laz on the get, or whether it's the woman thinks she isn't divorced when she really is divorced, then that has ramifications as well. So for those reasons, he has tikkun olam. So you have one version, Rabbi Yochanan says mi takanat mamzerim, and Rabbi Lakish says mi pnei takanat agunot. Rabbi Yochanan amar mi pnei takanat mamzerim, savar laki Rav Nachman. Yochanan says it's from takanat mamzerim because he holds like Rav Nachman, amar mi pnei shnayim, in front of two, ubeitrei, leit lehu kala. And two people don't have a call. V'hilo shema, v'lo yada. She never heard about it. She doesn't know about it. V'azal o'minzibo. She's going to go ahead and get married. V'ika mamzerim. And that's going to result in mamzerim. So already here you see some of what's going on in terms of the function of the edim or the dayanim, the beit din that we saw before with Rav Nachman Rav Sheshet. Rav Nachman says here, you need two. But two, do not create publicity. And since there's no publicity associated with it, the woman's not going to get the information, and she'll get married based on this get, even though it's not a good get. He holds like Rav Sheshet that it's in front of three. Three people, information gets out, and it's well publicized. She heard about it, and she knows that the get is mivutal. Below minsiba, and she doesn't get married. Betakanot agunot hudeika, and that's why there's a takanat agunot, as Rashi explains over here, and I mentioned before that the takanat agunot is she now is in a position where the husband will not make the effort to get her the get, and now the burden is lying on her to get the get, and therefore she's going to remain aguna because the husband's not going to come to her, the husband's not going to send a shliach, he already sent one and was mevatel it, unlikely that he's going to do it again, and that leaves her in this position of aguna. Oh, so Tosfot says. So Alpha Gav, Bedin de lo Minsiba, even though, truthfully, she's not allowed to get married. She's still married. The get was batel. Choshiv Igun. It's still called Aguna based on what Rashi says. Because the Zimnin, the boy, the Mezel, Medina Tayam, Velo Mishkach Safra, Shavik Lo, Ba'ozil, Ma'anga Biyotva. That we see this before, the Gemara mentioned this also, that if there's a position where he's going overseas and he wants to give her a get and the Sofrim don't have ready-made gets and don't have the boilerplates ready, that he's going to end up leaving and not giving her the get. And then she'll be ma'anga. So she's called an aguna despite the fact that she's properly married and there was no divorce granted, but she's called an aguna not in maybe the classic sense that we think of an aguna, which is a recalcitrant husband. Over here, she's an aguna because she's left without a husband, is overseas and has no clue what's happening with him. And so she basically left alone in that sense. And that's why she's called an aguna over here. Tell us what makes that point with regards to the statement of Rashi. Again, this is a little closer to what we know as the classic case of aguna. The case that he quotes from Chavav is clearly there that she's married. And the only reason maybe he would have given her a get when to went to Medinat Hayam is to prevent the problem of her becoming an aguna or to stop her from having to deal with Yibum. But over there, they're not getting divorced because there's some sort of altercation between them and he's being recalcitrant about it. There, it's just they didn't have enough time and he leaves. So there, the Gemara uses the word agunah. We pointed out there, that wasn't the classic sense we say. Over here, again, it's a little closer to what we know because here it seems that the husband's playing some games. But nevertheless, it's not a classic case where he's refusing to give a get. He just didn't send a get. He just didn't send a divorce. If she wants to go over there and get the get, it's very possible he would give her the get. It's just an undertaking for her to go there. So Gemara calls that igun or aguna in that case. Again, we spoke about the other alternatives to Rashi. And again, what Tosfot says about Rashi's chat, we gave the other alternatives to what the meaning of the word aguna is. So now, you see here a machloket between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish that relies on the machloket to Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. Now, that explains to us maybe what the Ramban was saying before, that Rav Sheshet says the purpose of the Bifnei Beit Din is for a kol, is to publicize it. You need three for publicity. And that's why Rav Sheshet says three. On the other hand, Rav Nachman says, purpose here is that ein davar be'erva pachon mishnayim. You can't do anything that has to do with arayot with less than two. So you need two to get rid of the issue of arayot. Kol, we don't worry about that. So that's what you can maybe see the difference between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet, according to Ramban. The shittot are premised on what is the purpose here of doing it in front of these individuals. If the purpose is to generate publicity, then you need three, and that's the shittot of Sheshet. For Rav Nachman, the purpose is to do it in front of two that qualify for Davar Shebe Erva, not necessarily to publicize it. And for that reason, they come up with their different opinions, and maybe Rav Nachman has nothing to do with a Beit Din of two, it's simply that, what's the purpose of doing it here? Purpose is to do it in front of two, because it's Davar Shebe Erva. When it comes to publicity, Tosfot says over here that Rav Sheshet seems to indicate, and seemingly Rav Nachman doesn't disagree, that if you use three people, you get publicity from using those three. Tosfot says that that is not a universal principle, because he says we find in different areas of halacha, you need different number of people to make it public. So he says, first of all, if it's by a loan, it's not considered to be publicity, even if you have three. And he says, afagav, demilva alpeh, lo gabi mishabdeh, filu levol mifnei kama edim. A person who lends out money cannot go ahead and collect from encumbered property if it's not a documented loan, even if he does it in front of three. Well, if he does it in front of three, that's a public issue. Once it's a public issue, you should be able to go after encumbered property, because our fear is that people don't know about it, and they're going to buy from this individual, they'll transact with him, they won't know about the debts. But if he has three, everybody knows about it. That's what it says, the nature of these halachot are different. By the case of divorce, when you have three, it becomes a public issue because nobody's trying to cover it up. By loans, when people borrow money, they do not want it to be a public issue. They don't want other people to know that they're in debt, whether they're in difficult times or that they won't transact with them because they think they have debt. And therefore, even if there are three people there, the individual will try to hush it up or say no, or tell the edim not to say something. So despite the fact that three work, it won't work in that case of milvah. But then Tosfot asks for something that we've mentioned and we spent a lot of time on earlier in the Masechta, is that when it comes to a documentation of something, you can only take from encumbered property if you have edim signed on the document, two edim signed on the document, because that brings to the publicity of the matter and protects other parties that are going to come and transact with him. You see over there that two are sufficient to create publicity. Why do we need three then if two are enough? So Tosfot over there says, because Ochabin and Giloy Milta Tvei. Over here, we're trying to get a lot more publicity than we are over there. Here, there's a lot more at stake that we need the publicity for. Plus, it's very likely there's a larger distance between the man where he's being vatalit and the woman who's getting the get. Over there, we're trying to help the local people who are going to transact with this individual. If two edim sign on it, that will bring the publicity in the local area. And again, the ramifications, even though they're monetarily, they're meaningful, they're still not as great as mamzerut and the problems of a woman not being married. Those are very significant, and therefore we need three there versus two by mishabdeh. So Mara says, Tanrabanan, bitlu mivutal divrei rabbi. So here we have a machloket about this takana of Rabban Gamliel HaZaken, who says that he was mevatel the ability to retract a get in front of a beit din. What happens if the person does it anyway? Despite the takanat chazal, he goes ahead and does it. So Rabbi says, bitlo, if he goes ahead and it's mevatel it, mivutal. It works. Chachamim say lechatchila, don't do this. You shouldn't do this. If you do it, you violate an isur d'rabanan, but it's effective, and the get is mevutal. Shimon Gamliel omer, eino yachol, lo levatlo, velo lo sifal tna'o. He's not allowed to nullify the get. He's not allowed to add on to any conditions he has in the get. Shimkein, makoach beitin yafeh. Because if that's the case, then what's the power of beitin? If beitin instituted a takana that you're not allowed to do this, and then we allow people to go ahead and override the takanat beitin, then what power or what legislative power does Beit Din have? Yes, they can call it an Isur, but people can ignore it in the end because it's effective to do this. And so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sees this as being a problem, not necessarily in the specific case, but a more general or generic problem, which is you're taking away the power of Beit Din or the integrity of the system. And therefore, we're not going to allow you to do this because then you're going to override Beit Din, and Beit Din's power is going to be diminished significantly. It says, "Umi ika mide demir do raita batel gita v'shum makoach Beit Din yofish arina neshet ish la'alma." This might be the whole reasoning behind Rabbi's position, which is here mide raita. If he goes in front of a Beit Din, the get is mivutal. That means the get is not a good get min haTorah. All of a sudden, the Chachamim come along and say, "You know what? We need to protect the integrity of the system, the power of Beit Din to legislate, and therefore it is a good get." That means, min haTorah, there's no get here. Mi derabanan, there is a get. How does a derabanan get unwind what is a marriage d'oraita? How does that work over here? that's probably the reasoning behind Rabbi's position, as if you do it, it works, because it's a Doraita. Doraita is going to work. And once you're Mevatel, we can't stop that. But Gemara says, yes, this is a principle that we've seen numerous times before, in Vamot and Ktubot, called Mikadesh, Adaita Derabonon Mikadesh. Anybody who engages in Kiddushin does it under the auspices of the Rabbanan. As Tosafot says, that's why we say, Hariat Mekudeshet Li, Kedat Moshe V'Yisrael. The addition of Kedat Moshe V'Yisrael is to say that it's done Al Dat Chachamim, meaning that we assume Kedat Moshe, that whatever the Chachamim say goes. And what does that mean? Vavkinu Rabbanan LeKiddushin, meaning the Chachamim retroactively undermine the Kiddushin. They remove the Kiddushin. So right, you can't take a get that is not a get midoraita and make it to a get derabanan. That won't help you over here, because you can't divorce with the get derabanan, kiddushin, or a marriage that is doraita. But what you can do, and what the rabbanan do, is undermine the kiddushin. They stop you from being married retroactively. Then you don't need a get. If you're never married, you never need to get divorced. So what they do is take away the kiddushin. And how can they do that? Amalei Ravina the Ravashi, Tinach the Kaddish Mikaspa. That works well for someone who is Mikadesh through Kesef. That's Kesef Kiddushin. Why? Because then you can be Hefker, Beitin Hefker. Beitin has the power to take away money or ownership. And they can say that the money was given was not for Kiddushin, it was a Matana, it was a gift. And therefore there's no more Kiddushin over here. Beitin has such powers within monetary matters. And therefore they can do this. Kaddish B'Bia, Ma'ika the Meimar. If you're Mikadesh with Bia, then what can Beitin do? Meaning that they have a right as Hefker, Beitin Hefker, to deal with monetary matters. But when it comes to Kiddushin, Bibia, what can they do? They can't stop now the Kiddushin. How do they undermine the Kiddushin, Lemafreya, if they don't have a controlling interest in the Kiddushin? Shabir Rabbana and the Bilato, Bilatznut. So the Gemara says, no, the Rabbana in the end can. They can affect your Bia as well. Which is that then not only can they tell you Hefker, Beitin Hefker, and the money was just a Matana, they can also affect Bia that you had, what it was. Was it a Bia of Kiddushin? Or was it a Bia of Znut? And Chachamim declare that that Bia is not functional as Kiddushin, since they control the Kiddushin. And if he's gonna make it, if he says, I wanna make the Kiddushin work, like the Chachamim say, here the Chachamim say that his Bia was not effective as a Kiddushin, rather it was a Bia Znut, and it unwinds or undermines the Kiddushin Le Mafreya retroactively. If they're never married again, you don't need a get. Now Rashi over here brings the sheet of what's called Rabbonin de Rashi. It's found here, it's found in Gemara and Kiddushin. It's more famous because it's also the sheet of the Rambam, seemingly. And it's very difficult, as Rashi says over here, it's an extremely difficult sheet. There's been much written about this because of the Rambam sheet here and how to deal with this. And that is that they say, Tinach Kiddushin Bekesef. It works well for Kesef Kiddushin, because that's only Midrabanan. But Bia, which is Kiddushin Doraita, what are you going to say? So Rashi says, what do you mean? Why is Kiddushin Bekesef Derabanan? And why is Kiddushin Bebia Doraita? So they premise on the fact that Kiddushin Bekesef is not written explicitly in the Torah. It's learned out of a Gzeirah Shavah, as we'll see when we get to the Gemara in Kiddushin, from Stei Ephron. And there we learn out of Gzeirah Shavah, Kicha, Kicha, that teaches us, just like the Likuchin by Stei Ephron was with money, so too the Kicha, the Likuchin by Kiddushin, by marriage, is also through monetary means. And so they suggest that that's only a drasha, quote-unquote, Dirabanan. And this is a drasha Dirabanan. The Rabbanan there can affect the Kiddushin Dirabanan. They have control over Kiddushin Dirabanan. But when it comes to a Dindoraita, like Bia, how are they going to deal with that, or how are they going to undermine that? And that is the question of the Gemara over here. Rashi says, Kach ani mefresh b'chol makom milibi. This is the way I explained, the way that I originally explained it. That's how I explained it from my heart, everywhere. Mirabutai kibalti. And then he says what he has from his Rebbeim. So he has this Mesora, which he's unwilling to say is the Pshat in the Gemara. And he says, why? Uchuvot kashot yesh b'davar. Says they are difficult questions on this Pshat. Chado. Gzeir Shava Gufa Torahi. The first of which is that Gzeir Shava is Ke'ilu Nechta B'Doraita. Nobody says that Gzeir Shava is Derabonon. Gzeir Shava makes something on the level of a Doraita. And he shows that there are other places where we see Gzeirot Shavot, and it's clear that they are Deoraita. That's number one. Number two is, we would put a woman to death if she had kiddushin with kesef. So you're telling me that kiddushe kesef, which is a din derabanan, that we're going to give somebody a capital punishment if they have an extramarital affair because they're going to marry me derabanan? How could it be that something on a level derabanan causes a din doraita of capital punishment? If it's doraita, then it makes sense. If it's derabanan, how do you kill people? How do you have capital punishment for extramarital affairs? Then the last thing he says is, if you really believe that the Rabbanan don't have the koach to undermine or override, how is it possible in the end that they are able to override the Biyah? They can override the Kesef because they're Rabbanan, but you can't override Biyah because it's still right. And then they go, yeah, no, they make it into a Biyah Znut. How do they do that? What is the vehicle by which they're making it into a Biyah Znut if you don't think they can do it in Dinei Doraita? So the sheet of his Rebbeim suggests, based on a Rav Mangid Amanda Mekadesh Bebia, Rav in the Gemara Kedushin tells us that he used to give lashes to anybody who was Mekadesh Bebia. We saw that also in the Gemara in Ketubot, because he felt that it was an improper method to do Kiddushin. Therefore, he gave Malko to them. Miu lo batle. Doesn't mean that he was Mevatlet. What they suggest is that Rav was Mangid. Rav gave Malkot to anybody who was Mekadesh Bebia B'Kedushin, and basically what Rav did was he stopped the ability to use Bia. He completely shut that avenue down. And since he shut that avenue down, anybody who does this now, it's a Bia Znut. So not that the Chachamim are okay the Bia, the Mafreya, but rather, Bia is not a vehicle for Kedushin anymore. It's not something you have to worry about. And therefore it doesn't work. That's what Rashi's Rebbeim say. Rashi says, that's not what it means. Rav gave Malkot to anybody who does it. Doesn't mean that it doesn't work as Kiddushin. Simply means that if you do this and you use this as Kiddushin, Rav's going to give you Malkot because it's improper. And so based on that, Rashi says, Ha v'ha do'raita. Both Kiddushin Kesef and Kiddushin Biyah are do'raita. And then we have to deal with the fact that how do the Chachamim care? It's by Kesef, Hefker, Beit, and Hefker. By Biyah, they use the vehicle of Biyat Znut. Based on that, Rashi explains the Gemara differently than his Rebbeim, and he says that he thinks his Rebbeim Shita is completely wrong. Again, the Rambam has the same Shita. The Rambam seems to say something very similar, and so many of the Rishonim and Achronim have to deal with the Shita of the Rambam and had to explain it. The Rambam says that Midivrei Sofrim, you're allowed to get married with Kesef. Midivrei Sofrim makes it sound like it's only the Rabbanan, similar to the Shita of the Rebbeim of Rashi. But many explain me Divrei Sofrim according to Rambam doesn't mean that it is a Darabonon, but rather it's learned through one of the Shlosh Esrei Midot at Torah Nidresh Bem. Again, when we spoke about this in the Gemara in Ketubot, we delved into it more deeply about what are the answers or the different ways to deal with that Shita of the Rambam and the Rebbeim of Rashi. Rashbam raises Fred's issue and says, we had in the Gemara before, Shema Yichapeh al Bat Achuto, that maybe someone will cover up for his niece that he's married to when she has an extramarital affair by predating the get or giving her a get without a date, and they'll say it happened before. So he said those documents are no good because he will incorrectly cover up for his bat achuto. So Tosfot, the Rashbam says, I have a better solution. You know what he'll do? He'll send her a get, and then before the get gets to her, he'll go mevatel the get and beit din. That'll be okay the kiddushin the mafreya, because that's what the takana is. The takana is now the kiddushin are wiped out lid mafreya, and she was never married. She's never married. She never had an extramarital affair, and he's able to protect his niece in that manner. So that's what the Rashbam asks. Why wouldn't he use this the vehicle to protect his niece? Why does he have to predate the get? Just send the get and be mevatel it, and he'll be in a better situation. Interesting answer that the Ri gives. Vomeri, the lokasha. You only have to worry when he's covering up improperly. Over here, he is covering up, and he is not covering up, and he's doing the right thing, and she really wasn't married, and so it's fine. It's very interesting what he's saying. He says, we're okay with him covering up, as long as he does it through the proper mechanism, channels, or halacha. So over here, when he does it, she truly is not married to him from the beginning. That's what happens. And she is Torah. So fine, let him do that if he wants to. In the case by the get, where he's giving it to her after the fact, trying to look like it was before the fact, there it's a lie. And there we don't want him covering up through a lie. It's an extremely interesting answer of the Ri that says that we're okay with you covering up as long as you do it in a manner that is halachically correct. V'odikshe Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam then asks, which I think is the question that you were really after, Teiche mechayvin olam mita al eshedish zinta. How can you ever be mechayev an eshedish who has not? Because it's always that trat's a fake, because maybe she'll get a get and then be mevatel and she was never married. V'od, yucholim l'taher mamzerim. You can get rid of any problem of mamzerut now. Anytime there's a mamzer, you have the husband send the get, be mevatel it, and that'll retroactively remove any problem of mamzerut. So here we have a way to be mitaher mamzerim. So that's the Rashbam's question, in addition to what he asked before. B'shem yichaper, the Rish said, okay, that's okay. But then the Rashbam asked, well, if you think it's an okay vehicle, Sarat Safek, which we'll just answer in the end, that we don't assume it's a Sarat Safek until it happens. So as long as it hasn't happened, we assume that she's an Eshadish and she'll be Chayab. But this is a great way to prevent any person from getting capital punishment if they have an extramarital affair. But really, the more problematic stage with Mamzerim that are born out of those extramarital affairs, now we can mimic to air them by having the divorce be retroactive and they won't be Mamzerim. It's a great solution to the problem. Tosfot in the end then brings another shita, which, not like the Rish, suggests. That's what you would have expected, is that if someone is playing games, that Beit Din does not invoke their powers in that case. So if we know that they're trying to do this to cover up for an extramarital affair, or to protect Mamzerim, then Beit Din doesn't allow it to happen because that's not what it was meant for. It was meant to protect in cases where individuals sent a get, then was mevatel, and it's no longer a get d'oraita, but the takanat Rabban Gamliel is that it is a get, and this woman's going to go get married. That's where Beit Din stepped in to protect and say that this is a good get, and the husband can't do that. But if they're intentionally creating a scenario like this, in order that she's not married retroactively, Beit Din doesn't need to step in that case. Beit Din's not protecting anybody anymore. They're basically utilizing the Beit Din for their own benefit at this point. It's not protection for a victim of something that might happen where she thinks it's a get and it's not a get. But rather, they are incorrectly using this vehicle that's set up by Beit Din. They made this for a takana and not a takala. They want it to help people. They don't want it to become a problem. If you have this out every time, then you take away a huge disincentive for people to have extramarital affairs because they won't be subject to capital punishment anymore. We can get out of the problem. And number two is, if there's a baby born from it, they won't be a mamzer. So there's a lot of disincentive that's taken away. As a proper, I would just say, even without all of that, still, if Beit Din is going to use something that is a extreme power, that power we only exercise when it's necessary. If people are abusing that vehicle or that power of Beit Din, then we're not going to have it work. Aval, im barur lanu shelo nitkaven lekach, if he happened to do it, and his intentions were pure, meaning that he sent the get, and he wanted to be mevatel, and he did it that way, then lo chashinem yocholim l'taher. If it happens to be a side effect that they won't be mamzerut or she will be freed, then fine, it will work. Because there he didn't do it specifically for that reason, and therefore it goes through and it will have the effect of releasing the kiddushin l'mafreya and freeing her of any obligations in terms of extramarital affairs. As long as that's not his intention, it will work. Now, again, your question about why doesn't Beit Din just invoke this power today? This power of Beit Din can undo Kiddushin, or Hefker Beit Din Hefker, is a very dangerous power. It's so dangerous that we don't want Beit Din exercising it, except in very extreme cases, or here where the takanot are set up, because it's ripe for abuse. Which is that if you are allowed to give Beit Din the right to undermine marriages anytime, then Bate Dinim will not just do it when they're supposed to do it, they do also do it when they're not supposed to do it. It's too much power. It's so much power that even the Rambam himself never mentions the ability of Beit Din Lafkinu Rabbanan the Kedushin Mineh. The Rambam is so scared of this, he doesn't want to ever say or vest Beit Din with this power that they can undermine or they can take away something that exists. And so there, you have to see, as interesting wording on how he deals with it. But because it's so extreme and so dangerous a power, we want to limit it to exactly where the takanot were established and not give free rein that Beit Din can use it wherever they want because it's so ripe for abuse and so dangerous a power to grant to a Beit Din. And that's why we don't just have Batidinim coming in and say, oh, he's a recalcitrant husband. Well, be mevatel the kiddushin. We don't allow for that. It's too dangerous a power that you do not want Beit Din wielding such a power. It's right. Rabbi Gamliel Zakein put it in place. And even Rabbi, who says over here that he put it in place, says that if he does it, it overrides the takana. I mean, Rabbi doesn't accept the fact that makoach Beit Din yofet. And he's willing to have it be that Beit Din doesn't have this power. This is something that is very, very difficult to put in place. You see the Gemara struggling with it. Alright. Tan Rabbanan. Amar la sara kitvu get the ishti. Says to 10 people, write a get for my wife. Yachol levatel ze shlo bifnei ze. He can go ahead to each of these individuals and tell them, listen, I've changed my mind. I don't want you to do this. But he doesn't do it in front of all 10 of them. He can do it one by one. Divrei Rabbi. Shimon Gamaliel Omer, eino yachol levatel ele ze bifnei ze. He has to do it one in front of the other. Rashi says here, v'kaimelan kol kama dulo amar kuchem. As long as he doesn't say all of you, echad kotev u'shnayim chotmim. Then you just have one guy write it, and two. So when he says, you 10, he's appointing them, all 10 of them, to be responsible to ensure that the get gets written and is signed. Not that all 10 of them have to sign it, and not that all 10 of them have to write it. So when he cancels, is he allowed to cancel portions or some of the people, or does he have to cancel with all of them? So now Rabbi says he can do one by one, he can do lo bifnei zeh. Reb Shimon Gamliel says he's got to do it with all 10 of them together. But what is their machloket here? They're arguing about the question as to whether when a portion of Eidut is nullified or ruined, does it take down the entirety of the Eidut? Rabbi Savar, Eidut Shibtela Miktata, Lo B'tela Kula. Eidut, where a portion of the Eidut is ruined, the remainder of it is not ruined. As Lehanach Katve V'Yave Lichtavu V'Litvu. And he says, if the others go ahead and write the get and give it, they've done it properly. Because he can sever portions of these individuals from the totality of the 10. He empowered 10 people to give the get. He now rescinds that power from 2 or 3 of them. The other 7 are still empowered. And if the other 7 go and write the get and give it, they did that properly. And therefore, the get is a good get, and there's nothing wrong with that. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, says, Eidut shibtela miksata tela kula, that once you take out a portion of the individuals, it ruins the whole Eidut, everybody's power has been rescinded, now you have a problem. So he goes to 2 of them and says, listen, I'm taking away, I'm rescinding the powers that I invested you guys with, and you can no longer write the get. So now they can't write a get. But I only told 2 of them. The other 8 don't know this information, and they go ahead and write the get, and they're going to give the get. Improperly, because they're no longer empowered, because once he took out the 2, he took out all of them. And so that difference leads to their positions, where Rav Shimon Gamliel demands you do it in front of everyone, so the mistakes don't happen. Whereas Rabbi says, no mistakes will happen. You rescinded power from these individuals, the others are still empowered. You want to take back the power, you have to talk to all of them, but you can take back the power from each one of them individually, one by one, and it won't be an issue. Rav Shimon Gamliel savar, eidot shibtela miksata, betela kula, the other parties don't know about it. And they're going to cause this woman who is not divorced then to think she is divorced. Because once he took out the power from the 2 Edim, he then took away the power from all of the Edim. And when we're speaking about Edut here, we're not speaking about Edut in the real sense of Edut, because even Rabbi agrees that if you have a Kat Edim and there's some problem with one of the Edim, that the whole Edut falls apart. For instance, if one of the Edim is a Karov or a Pasul, he ruins it for all the Edim that are there. And so therefore, what you have to explain over here is that we're speaking about Edut in the sense of Shlichut, that he's empowering or sending these individuals to do this on his behalf, but not Edut in the sense of testifying like real Edim. And that's why Rabbi over here disagrees, whereas in the case of real Edut, he would agree that there is some variable, then, of course, we would say that Eidut, shbtela miktzata, b'tela kula. Or otherwise you have to read it over here, not Eidut, shbtela miktzata, but rather Eidut, shbitla miktzata, which is here where the husband actively is coming to mimvatel Eidut. That's the question here. Not in a case where the Eidut is nitbatel miatzma because of some variable like karov or pasul, or even Rabbi would agree that the Eidut is b'tela in that case. All right, Bibai Dema. And some say, the Kuli Alma, Educh of Tela Miksata, Lo Betela Kula. Everybody agrees that when you have an Edut that is partially ruined, the whole thing is not ruined, and therefore the remaining parties are still good Edim in this case. But, V'hochainu Taima de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So then what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's position? Kazavar Milta Dume Abdo Be'api Asara, Tzricha Be'asara Lemishlifa. That when you do something in front of 10 people, you gotta rescind it in front of 10 people. It's the nature of the way that you granted the rights. You have to rescind the rights the same way that you granted them. You grant them in front of 10, you gotta take them back in front of 10. Now Rashi over here explains that the difference in these two Lishonot in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is a question as to whether he's extending the Takana or not extending the Takana. Rashi says before, Eino Yachol Levatel, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, is, She'af zumina takana. This is part of the takana of Rabbi Gamliel Zakein, that we want to prevent situations in which a woman gets a get, and it's not really a get. So what's that? An example of that. The husband sends a get, and he's mevatel in front of Beit Din, and the get's no good, but the woman thinks she has a get. That's one example. Another example of that is he has 10 edim standing here. He's mevatel 2 of the edim. That ruins the whole edut now. And if they go and give the get, it's not a good get, and she thinks she's divorced. Similar scenario, and that's part of the takana. The takana of Rabban Gamliel Zakein is to prevent these situations, to say that it is a good get, because we don't want these problematic situations arising. On the other hand, in the case here, in the Ibayit Eima, Rashi says, the Ein Kan Gzeira. This is not part of the takana to Rabban Gamliel Zakein. Ela Taimed Rabban Shim Gamliel, Lo Mishum Takana. It's not because of the takana at all. Ela, Kasavra ain't bitulo bitul. That this is a technical problem, which is that once somebody empowers individuals and wants to rescind that power, he has to do it the same way he granted it, he has to take it back. Nothing to do with Takanat Rabbi Gamliel, this is an independent issue of bitul, how bitul works, or what is the way that bitul functions. And so therefore Rashi says this is not associated with the Takanat Rabbi Gamliel Azakein. And so what's interesting there is that Tosu points out of here, Tzarachim be'asara l'mishlefa, v'afilu otam shnaim shibitel, yocholim lichtov. Even the two guys that he went to and said, you cannot write the get, they can go ahead and write the get. Because he didn't do it in the way that creates a bitul. I mean, the bitul demands of him that he do it in front of the ten, otherwise it's not a bitul. V'teima, came into me, all right, yochol v'tel, afilu shlo bifnehem, Midoraita, even if he doesn't go to them, he can be mevatel the get, he can go to a Beit Din and stop it. Amai tiknu chachamim, shlo yo bitul, gabe yotam shnayim atzmam. Why wouldn't they say that with these two, at least the bitul should work? We told them explicitly that it doesn't work. Veshlamar, kevin shehutzru chulda takein, shein bitul mo'il the gabe achirim, tiknu nami shlo yo koach, levatel bezeh get klal. They basically took away his power to be mevatel at all, and you come out with this almost absurdity where if he tells them directly that I don't want you to write a get, they can ignore him and go ahead and write the get because his bitul has no impact over here. It's amazing. That might be in contrast to the position before with regards to betela miksata, betela kula, betela miksata, betela kula, where that if he did go to those two, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the bitul does not work, but those two obviously can't go ahead and say, oh, we're going to write the get anyway because he was mevatla. All the Takana says is that if someone else writes the get and it goes forward, the get is a good get, even though he was mevatelet, because we don't want the problem of the woman getting a get and thinking it's good. So that would be a nafkamina between them. Tosafot over here, the previous Tosafot, we didn't spend a lot of time on because there's a Girsa issue with another Gemara, and what the lineup of the Girsa is how correlated are the positions of Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in these two cases. If you hold of Rabbi's position that by Rabbi Gamliel, that if you do it anyway, it goes through. Is that correlated with Rabbi's position over here? And the same thing as Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says before that Takana Rabbi Gamliel Zakein is all powerful, and you can't override it. Is that also connected with his position over here? That why Edut Betela Miksata, Betela Kula, is that connected? So Tosafot is trying to determine whether if you paskin like Rabbi in one case, you have to paskin like him in the other case, or not. From Rashi, you would see here, it's pretty clear that he thinks in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion, they're connected. Because it's connected back to the Takana of Rabbi Gamliel Zakein. If you don't hold like Rashi, and you say that they're not connected back to the original Takana, then it's possible that you could segregate their opinions. And that Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinions here aren't necessarily correlated with their opinions before, and they could be independent, and therefore you could pass them like one there and one here without being in conflict. But it really depends on how you explain it. And there's a large Tosafot on the Amud Aleph that comes over to the Amud Bet here that discusses exactly that issue as to how correlated are these positions. Ready, Bailu, Kulchem Mahu. So now, if he says Kulchem, what is the din? The reason for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is because partial edut that is ruins the whole thing. But over here, because he says all of you, therefore they can't do it unless they write about Havi or Dilma. And therefore that would have application even by Kulchem. So we had over here, our case was, Kidvu get liishti. He just said, you guys should write a get for my wife. Over there we said, that means that he's just appointing all of them, 10 of them, as shlichim, to go and get someone to write it and to sign it. Two of them will sign it. But when he says Kulchem, all of you, that means that the get does not become effective until every one of them signs on the get. So now in that case, with regards to then you don't have a problem anymore. Because if he tells two of them he's mevatel it, the get will not go effective until all 10 of them sign. Two of them know that they can't sign on it anymore. The get will not go through and you won't have this problem anymore. So it's clear there that according to that reasoning, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, by the case of Kulchem, will agree that you could be mevatel miksat, and he would agree to Rabbi's position then. On the other hand, if the reason is that it's a din in bittul, that bittul only works when you empower people, you have to reverse that power in the same manner exactly, then it doesn't matter if he says kulchem, because even if he goes to mevatel two of them, he didn't do it in the manner that he empowered them. And therefore, they're not batel again, and their get will go through. All 10 of them can sign. Similar to what Tosafot said before, they'll all 10 go and sign, and even though those two guys heard that he was mevatel, that didn't mean anything, and they will sign with the other 8 on the get, and it'll be an effective get. Tashma. Amar l'shnayim tnu get l'ishti. Sells two people, go give a get to my wife. Yochol levatel zeh, shelo bifnei zeh. He can be mevatel one not in front of the other, divrei rabbi. Shimon Gamliel omer, eini yochol levatel, ela zeh bifnei zeh. Shimon Gamliel says you can only do it one in front of the other. Vahash shnayim. This is a case of two. Techi kuchem domu. Over there, it's equivalent of saying all of you, because two is the minimum number of people you need to sign on the get. So if he tells two people to do it, every one of them will have to sign it. So therefore, the reasoning over here must be that not about edut shebetela miksata betela kula, because if that was the reason over here, then why should Rabbi Shimon Gamliel worry about the fact that he's mevata one of the edim? Because since they both have to sign on it, he'll tell the other guy that it's mevutal and it won't go through. On the other hand, if you believe that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's reasoning is because if you do it in front of power people, you have to rescind the power in the same manner, then you can explain this. So you see the fact that they argue over here, plige, shows you that that must be the reasoning for their machloket, and not, educh b'tela miktata b'tela kula. Amar Ravashi, ibi ede ktiva ochinami. But you would be right if the edim that we were speaking about over there were the edim who had to write the get. Hachavai eskinan b'ede holacha. These are edim that are charged with giving the get to the woman. Because over there it says, tnu get li ishti. Now, tnu get li ishti can manifest itself in one of two ways. You can say tnu get li ishti and there's no get there. That means, write the get and give it to my wife. Or, tnu get li ishti can be a case where he already has the get. And he's saying, tnu get li ishti, he's saying, go give the get to my wife. He's making them shlichim l'olacha. And that's what Ravashi says. The case here is the case of shlichim l'olacha, or edei olacha. So Hachanami Mistavra, that makes a lot of sense. Tiktani Seifa. The latter half of that piece of the Tosefta says, Amar lezeh bifnei atzmo, ulezeh bifnei atzmo, yachol levatel zeh shelo bifnei zeh. If he goes to both parties and does it, he empowered the parties separately, and then he rescinded the parties separately, it works. I amar bishlama beido olacha shapir. If we're talking about edim l'olacha, it makes sense that he would empower them separately, and he would rescind the power separately. Why? If they are edim to write the get and to sign on the get, will they be mitzaref if he empowered them separately? Because, ha-mar-mar, ein edutan mitzarefet ad shirush nehem ke'echad. Edut is not considered being Edut. You're not a kat edim until you witness an event together. So you have to be together in the witnessing of an event to become two edim that can testify about a particular issue. Similarly here, if he's telling them to give a get, then he needs to empower both of them together to be the edim for the get. If he empowers them separately, you don't have two edim together who have the right to write this get and give this get. And therefore it'll fail. So that makes a lot of sense then that the seifa of the Tosefta is talking about holacha, because by the case of holacha, holacha only requires one aid. So he empowered one individual, and then he goes to another guy and says, you know what, I already gave it to this other guy, but if you want to join him, you can also be an aid holacha. And so therefore he can rescind them separately, and he can empower them separately, because this is not about edut. Qua edut, this is about holacha. This is about taking the get to the woman. It says, Dilma Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Sfirle. Maybe he holds like Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, who says that even if Edim independently witness an event, then they can still be a kat Edim, they can still be mitzdareif to testify about the event. And so to over here, maybe you could say it's talking about Edei Tiva, and he empowered them separately, and they still will be good Edim, like Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. We tried through the Tosefta to prove that the machloket here is not about Edut Shibtela Miksata, but rather about the Edut that you empower, you have to take away with the same number of people. And that's what seemingly is being spoken out by this Tosefta. Rav Ashi came along and dismissed it by saying, it's not talking about Edei Tiva, it's talking about Edei Holacha. And the Gemara then said, well, I can even prove it to you from the Seifa. Because the Seifa clearly seems to be indicating Edei Holacha, because he separately charges each of them to do it. The Gemara then says that that's not necessarily a proof, because you could hold like Rav Shua ben Karcha that even when they're separate, they can join together later on to become an Edut. So you don't have a proof from the Seifa. But still, Rav Ashi says that that Tosefta is talking about Holacha, and it's not a proof as to which way their Machloket is going. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Shem'et mined Rabbi Abba Tarte. I heard two things from Rabbi Abba, Chadak Rabbi, v'chadak Rav Shua ben Gamliel. In one case, he paskin like Rabbi, and in one case, he paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. V'lo yadana hei k'rabi v'hei k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. I don't know in which case he paskin like Rabbi, and in which case he paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. By the way, this is one of Tosafot's biggest proofs to the fact that there is not a correlation between the two machlokot, because he says, then what was the question over here? If he knew that the locha was like Rabbi or like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it would have to consistently be like one of them. So what's this business that I heard one was like Rabbi, one was like Shimon Gamliel, and they're trying to figure out which one is which? One would derive from the other, and then this wouldn't even be an issue. The fact that the Gemara has an issue like this shows you that the two are not correlated. So I'm Rabbi Yosef, next day Anan, let us see. Tichata Rav Dimi Amar Masev Asa Rabbi Kedivrei Chachamim. There was an incident in Eretz Yisrael when Rav Dimi came and told us that Rabbi did like the Chachamim, he paskin like the Chachamim. Amar Lefanav Rabbi Parta, Beno Shel Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, Ben Beno Shel Rabbi Parta Gadol. So again, we saw this in Ketubot, and over there we discussed, this is Rabbi Parta, Beno Shel Rabbi Elazar ben Parta. So that means he's the grandson, named after his grandfather. So he's Parta, Beno Shel Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, Ben Beno Shel Rabbi Parta Gadol. That can either be modifying Rabbi Prata, the grandchild, and saying that he is the grandchild of the great Rabbi Prata, which is that Rabbi Parta is the son of Rabbi Lazar, who's the son of Rabbi Parta. That Rabbi Parta is the Rabbi Parta Gadol, if it's modifying the first Rabbi Parta. Or it could be modifying the second Rabbi Parta and saying that he is the grandson of the great Rabbi Parta Gadol. And that would mean that they have three different Rabbi Partas, the one that's speaking in our Gemara, whose grandfather was Rabbi Parta, whose grandfather was the great Rabbi Parta Gadol. It's a dangling modifier, so you're not sure where it's modifying. Although I think most read it as being that it's referencing two. There are only two Rabbi Partas. There's Rabbi Parta who's speaking here, and his grandfather is the Rabbi Parta Gadol. So he says, Im kein, ma koach beitin yofeh. If that's the case, then what is the power of beitin? Because Rabbi vasak Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi rescinded his opinion and held like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says, Ma koch beitin yofeh. Now, this is a totally separate issue where Rabbi was arguing with the Chachamim about this issue. If Dayanim go ahead and assess the value of an estate that needs to be sold or confiscated property, and they make a mistake in the valuation, and they are off by more than a sixth, meaning that they're either too low by a sixth or too high by a sixth, then Michran Batel. The Chachamim say that the transaction is undone because it's too far off the mark of what the real valuation is, you have a problem on onah, and therefore the Beit Din's actions are annulled. On the other hand, what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, if you do that, makoch Beit Din yofe. Then if Beit Din is assigning valuations, and then you can reverse the valuations after the fact, then what's the power of Beit Din that they can assign valuations? Nobody's going to listen to them because they always get another opinion and check the Beit Din, and they're going to say that Beit Din's wrong. So you can't do that. You have to stand by Beit Din's valuations, whether they're right or wrong. So then Rabbi Parata says to Rabbi, Im gain makoch Beit Din yofe. He gives that same line of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel to Rabbi, and Rabbi backs away and says, you're right, makoch Beit Din yofe. So you see over there that Rabbi changes his mind with regards to this issue, makoch Beit Din yofe, and that's what the Gemara says now. With the hawk of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, hach ki Rabbi. So if over there we're going to pass on like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that means over here we're going to pass on like Rabbi. So we see that Rabbi already agreed with regards to makoch Beit Din yofe. That means that he agrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That means in the case where you violate the takana of Rabban Gamliel as a kain, you have no effectiveness in your action, and the get will go through, despite the fact that you were mevatel it. But that teaches us in the next machloket, with regards to zeh shelo bifnei zeh, where Rabbi says that's fine to be mevatel it, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's not fine, over there we're going to pass him like Rabbi, because what we have from Rabbi Abba, what Shmuel Bar Yehuda says that Rabbi Abba told him is one is the halacha is like Rabbi, one the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So now we know which one the halacha is like Rabbi, because we're going to assume in the case where he reversed his opinion and agrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that's the place where we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The other place, we're going to paskin like Rabbi. Tosfot over here asks, why is the Gemara so certain that just because Rabbi changed his mind over there by Shuma Dayanim, that he changed his mind over here also by the case of Get? Because the two are not necessarily correlated. You could argue that over there, there's a bigger undermining of the power of Beit Din versus over here. And maybe Rabbi changed his mind there, but he didn't change his mind over here. So what Tosafot says in the end is that the Rav Yosef Mendamiluhu, Mishom Dolo Ifluku Rabbi Shemuel Bahani Tre Mile Bemakoach Beit Din Yofe. We only find Rabbi and Rav Shimon arguing on these two cases, and that's it, with regards to Makoach Beit Din Yofe. And therefore Rav Yosef believes that there's a correlation between their opinions in these two cases, and that if Rabbi retracted his opinion one, he definitely retracted his opinion the other, because these are the only two places we find them arguing about this issue. And therefore it must be that it's a single issue and not a separate issue. So now the Gemara says, Va'af Rabbi Ushaya demin Usha Samar Chadak Rabbi V'chadak Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And so too Rabbi Ushaya min Usha Paskin in one case like Rabbi and one case like Shimon Gamliel. Dama Rabbi Barachana Chamisha Save Avian Kameh Rabbi Ushaya demin Usha. There were five elders that were in front of Rabbi Ushaya min Usha. Atu Gavra Kameh. This individual came before him. Va'ashkale Gita Al Korchei. And they forced him to give a get. They were Malkin Oto Ad Shumer Rotani. The Beit Din compelled him to give a get. Amar Lan, either he said to us, or Amar Lahu, he said to them, but depending on whether he appointed these five elders to be the individuals who were going to give the get, or Amar Lahu was to the Edim, who the husband appointed to bring the get. Depending on the girsa we have in front of us, Amar Lan, the Bach changes it to Amar Lahu, he said to them, meaning that independent parties, Edim that were appointed by this Baal, to bring the get, that's who Rabbi Ushaya min Usha spoke to. But if you have the girsa like we have, then he was speaking to the Chachamim, who were a party to this. And he says, Amar Lan, he said to us, to the five zkinim, Zilu Itamuru, go and hide. Vikitvula, and write the get for her. Because now you heard him say, go give the get. Go hide and give the get. Now, Isa Kadat Hoki Rabbi, if you hold like Rabbi, Kimitamre Mayhavi, when they go hide, why does that help you? Elishma Mino, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Svirle. He must be holding like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Meaning, if you believe that in the case where you override the Takanat Rabbi Gamliel, it goes through, which is Rabbi's opinion, then why does it matter whether they're hidden? He can just go to Beit Din, he can go to any two Edim and say, I'm a vatel to get. According to Rabbi, that's a good bitul, and it's done. And it doesn't matter if the people that were empowered to write the get are going and writing the get. He has the power to shut it down. So you see from here that he clearly paskins like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that if you try to override it after the Takanat Rabban Gamliel as a kain, it does not work. And that's why he told them to go high. V'isa kadatcha idach nami Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And if you believe that he holds Also, in the second case, like a Bishimon Gamliel, which means that you're not allowed to be mefatel zeh shelo bifnei zeh, lamaloi tmure, then why do you have to go hide? Levadru ibdure. All they have to do is separate. Because according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, you have to have them all together to be mevatel it. So as long as they're in different locations, he won't be able to be mevatel it. Whereas when he tells them to hide, that's because he must think that they could be mevatel one at a time. And so they should hide so he can't get to them to be mevatel the get. El Shmamina, Chadak Rabbi, v'chadak Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Similar here, he's paskening in one case like Rabbi, meaning the second case, where you can be mevatel zeh shelo bifnei zeh. And in the first case, about Makoch Beit Din Yofe, Pasuk like Rishim and Gamliel, that if you are mevatel to get after Takanat Rabban Gamliel Zakein, it's not effective. V'rova Amar Rav Nachman, halacha k'Rabbi b'shtehem. So Rav Nachman comes back and says, no, the halacha is like Rabbi in both of these instances. V'leitle, the Rav Nachman Makoch Beit Din Yofe. Wait, doesn't Rav Nachman hold of this principle of Makoch Beit Din Yofe? Even Rabbi himself, we saw before, reversed his position. So why doesn't Rav Nachman also think this? And on top of that, Vama Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, we have an instance where we see specifically or explicitly that Rav Nachman says, Makoch Beit Din Yofe. Yitomim Shebaul Lachlok B'Nichsei Abihem. If you have orphans that are coming to split the estate of their father, Beit Din Ma'amidin Lahem Apitropus. Beit Din appoints a guardian or executor for each of them. Borin Lahem Nichelek Yofe. And each of the executors or representatives of the Yitomim basically works on behalf of his client, on behalf of his custodial, on behalf of his constituent, and works it out, and they divide the property. Higdilu. Once the Yitomim grow up, Yicholim Limchot. They can go and object to the split, and they can say it wasn't fair, I didn't want it this way, and then they can force a redivision of the estate. Rav Nachman Didei Amar, Higdilu, and Yicholim Limchot. So that's what Rav Nachman said in the name of his Rebbe, Shmuel. But then Rav Nachman himself says they cannot reverse what was done. Because if you allow them to reverse it, then you basically take away or you ruin any possibility of Beit Din carrying any weight here because they can always be reversed. It's as if they say something, they write a document and it has no meaning. Gemara says, no, you can segregate between these. Hata mimona, hacha isura. Over there, we're talking about monetary matters. In monetary matters, we invoke the principle of Ma koach Beit Din Yofe. Why? Because Hefker Beit Din Hefker, Rashi says. Because Beit Din has the ability to make things Hefker, and therefore Beit Din can act even against what are supposedly the best interests of the individuals, or what are clear mistakes over there. We say Ma koach Beit Din Yofe, and we uphold Beit Din's power, and even though there are going to be losses, or even though there are mistakes made, we're going to say Beit Din stands, and whatever they say goes. On the other hand, Hocha Yisura. Over here we're talking about Isura, we're talking about Eshet Ish, we're talking about Isura, and there we're not going to say Makoch Beit Din Yofe, Lo Afku Rabbanan Kiddushin. Rabbanan didn't go ahead and be Mafkir the Kiddushin, or basically the question that was posed to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if the Oraita is not a get, why are the Chachamim undermining it? Oh, they're doing by being Mevatel the Kiddushin, the Mafreya, so we won't subscribe to all that. We're not going to invoke this Makoch Beit Din Yofe, and that's how you can separate between these two issues, and therefore, Rav Nachman passing like Rabbi in both cases. He says, in the case where he does it, it overrides the Takana of Rabban Gamliel as a Kain, and the get is not a good get. And over here, he passes like Rabbi that you can be Mevatel, Zeh, Shalom, Bifnei, Zeh. So now, a couple of things that Tosafot points out over here. Beit Din, Mami Dele, and Patropos, Rabban Lahem, he says, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, V'chein Rabbeinu Chanano, Debor Lahem, Beit Din, Tzarech Shumat Beit Din. That they have to actually have an assessment in Beit Din. It's not that the apitropsim are the ones who do the division. The division is done based on the assessment of Beit Din and the valuation of Beit Din. Then the executors or guardians are appointed to take care of whatever their portion is once it's been divided. They're not the actual dividers of the property or the assessors of the property. They're simply the guardians of the property once it's given to each of those children. So what's the borin over here? Ayidei goral. They throw lots. Beit Din divides up the property evenly or in a fair manner, and then they throw lots for which portion you get. But then Tosfot's running into a problem. If you describe it this way, then what does it mean, Borin Lein Chelek Yofe? That they pick a nice piece for them. What do you mean they pick a nice piece for them? They're not picking anything. Beit Din does the assessment, they throw a lot, and then they get the property. So what does it mean, Borin Lein Yofe? So he says, Vafilu Begoral, Shaykh Levor Chelek Yofe. says, even in a goral, there is a sense of chalak yafeh. I could go in a miyesh shalosh sadot, that when there are three fields, tov shitol kol achad sadeh achat, v'yichalko bevat achat, mashiach loku kol seh de gimel chalakim. What they're talking about, barim yafeh, means how they come up. Once Beit Din has assessed the values here, then they create two piles. And then they throw a lot to figure out which pile. Setting up those two piles is the job of the apitropsin. And there they have influence, and there they can make a difference. If they have three fields, it's better to give each one of them one whole field, and then split the other field, rather than splitting all three fields, where the guy can't have any economies of scale, doesn't have any adjacency of his properties. There are reasons to subdivide the property differently, and come out better. And that's what their job is, to create the two piles, or the two divisions that will work out for the best interests of the Yitomim. And that's what it means, burn them yafeh. That's number one. Then, Tosfot says over here, Shutav abal achlok shelo bedat chaviro, mesap kalari, im yachol achlok akarkot, sheshaycha kepeda beruchot. So he says, if you have partners that come and want to divide the property up, without his friend knowing about it, it's a question whether Beit Din has the right to do this, because even though they come up with equal values in the assessment, there is one other factor, which is ruchot. Is the location also matters, or the adjacency of properties, it matters. And therefore, people have hakpadot on things besides value. There are these, call them intangible items that change the value of an item. So even though they're of equal value, for certain people, things are worth more because of the direction, where they are. And therefore, he's not clear here that Beit Din can act on behalf of one of one party. I'm in a case here where they have two pieces of property. One is right up against your property that you own already, and one's far away. The values of the two properties are the same. But for you, the property that's near your existing property is worth a lot more, not inherently. The value is the same, but for you in particular, it's worth more. And therefore, Beit Din maybe can't act without knowing the best interests of the parties, because they don't know what their particular interests are. And therefore, maybe Beit Din can't, just on absolute value, make that decision. And that refers to a Tosfot up above, where Rabbeinu Tam says that we only do this, Yitonim Shechuku, when both of them want it. Shishneim Rotzim. But if one of them objects, we don't do it. Because Beit Din will only act, quote unquote, against their will and do it without them being a party to it, because they're Yitomim, they're Ktanim, is a case where they're both agreeing to this. But if they object, then Beit Din's not going to enter into the fray because of this issue of Beit Din acting against their will. But when both of them don't come, only one of them, Beit Din will act for that one, and they will be Cholek. Because over there, we assume that most of the Yitomim want it to be this way and want it to be split, and it's in their best interest. So playing on that, Tosfot says over here, by Shutafim, it's not clear to them that that's the case. And because of this issue of these intangible items, maybe they can't split against the will of the partners. And then Tosfot also discusses here, why didn't the Gemara give the same answer for Rabbi? Rabbi before reversed his position with regards to Makoch Beit Din Yofeh. Why doesn't the Gemara say that that's in Mamona? That was a monetary issue of Shuma Dayanim. By Isura, he still keeps his opinion. Who says that just because he reversed his opinion there, he didn't reverse his opinion here? Tosfot says that this distinction between Isur and Mamona is Rav Nachman's creation, and that Rabbi himself does not subscribe to it. So it's very interesting that Rabbi himself does not subscribe to this distinction, and therefore Rabbi, in a sense, when he reversed his position of Makoch Beit Din Yofeh, reversed it in both cases. Rav Nachman comes along and makes a distinction, and therefore he is willing to be mechalik within Rabbi's shita. So even though Rabbi himself didn't make such a distinction, Rav Nachman is saying that even though Rabbi himself didn't make this distinction, I am going to say within Rabbi's position that this should be the distinction. And therefore, if he retracted over there, it doesn't mean he retracted his position over here. And the locha is like Rabbi in both of these instances. And then he says, V'od yesh lomar, d'hocha mechalek ben isur l'mamona d'lo ta'u. That the difference here is that you're making a chiluk in the case d'lo ta'u. They didn't make a mistake. The distinction over there is different. One is a case where Beit Din made a mistake, and one of the cases where Beit Din did not make a mistake. In our case here by the Yitomim, Beit Din did not make a mistake. Just the Yitomim weren't happy about it. They wanted to change it afterwards. They wanted to reverse it. But over there, where the case is a case where they made a mistake, and then we say, Ma koach Beit Din Yofeh, and then we can bait it to Isura, that is a much closer parallel. Because there, if they made a mistake and we say Makoch Yod Beit Din Yofeh, then certainly by Isura, he should also say Makoch Beit Din Yofeh. Because even when they're wrong, or they're doing something that's not halachically right, we say Makoch Beit Din Yofeh. And that's why we don't distinguish between Mamona and Isura. Over here, Rav Nachman's case, the case where Beit Din got it right. And now you want to undermine when Beit Din got it right? That's a problem. Cases of Isura, where the Torah says it's a good get, or other cases where it's a mistake, there we don't invoke the principle of Makoach Beitin Yofeh. And that way Tosfot distinguishes why Rabbi, we don't came before, distinguish between Mamona and Isura. And over here we are distinguishing between Mamona and Isura, because the nature of the Mamona is different over here than it was in the case of Rabbi. Okay, we're going to stop here. 6 lines down on the top of Lamed Aleph.